What a blessing. Look at Psalms 2. Let me show you a couple of things here that ties in with this morning. Now, I mentioned to you when we talk about bearing the sufferings for Christ, I mentioned to you, for those of you that were here for Sunday school, and I realize it was a little harder than normal and that kind of thing, but I told you about the seriousness about mocking, belittling, making fun of people that are trying to do what's right to do. Deke, if you would please find 2 Timothy chapter 1 there, please. Our usher, appreciate it. And when you make mention of what I mentioned to you this morning, oftentimes people have a tendency even to mock at that because it's rarely talked about the serious side of the Lord and how serious He takes what you do. It matters to Him what you do, but it also matters to Him the attitude that you have while doing it. How you treat each other, how you talk to each other, the way that you treat and handle the body of Christ, the way you handle the Word of God. Like I told you this morning, the skepticism that is there with Abraham and Sarah, that same thing rises up now. Oftentimes you see people that doubt what the Bible says because it's not popular, it's not convenient, and it oftentimes creates a division between you and other people, even family and friends, because you're doing what the Bible says, and they're like, yeah, well, it's just the Bible. One day, if you can imagine, you're going to see yourself standing in front of the Lord. And if you can see that now, it'll help you to not mock, belittle, make fun of people when it comes to what the Bible says about things. The Bible's the absolute authority. Whether you believe that or not doesn't change the fact that it's the absolute authority. Here's a side, excuse me, that we often don't consider. And that's a holy side, a serious side, a fearful side of the living God. And oftentimes we don't even think about the judgment seat of Christ other than, oh, well, if you know I get there and I don't get anything, you know, then I'm all right. At least I'm in heaven. Yeah, but when you get there and realize who you're standing in front of, your attitude won't be, oh, well, if I just get to come in, your attitude will be, oh, man, I sure wish. And you don't get a second chance. You don't get a do-over there. All right, let me show you just a couple of these verses because some of you look, excuse me, somewhat shocked this morning. When I said this, you thought I was being sacrilegious when I said that he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh and he'll have you in derision. So I'll just show you a few verses about that, and then I want to get on to the stuff about the judgment seat of Christ. Look in verse number 4. Well, make it verse 1. But chapter 2 of Psalms, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage, and why do the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers, to take counsel together. Look who they're coming against. Against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Look at God's response to that. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. That means mocking them. It means ridiculing them. It makes belittling them like Elijah did on Carmel. That's a different side of God than maybe you've seen. I'll show you some verses about that. Brother Larry, you pray, would you please, and ask the Lord to help us out. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. While you're being seated, the next book over, you go Psalms and then Proverbs. Look in Proverbs chapter 1. And we won't spend a real long time here, I mean, unless the Lord changes things. But I'll show you a side of God that a lot of you'd rather not think about. Now, how will this help you practically? Well, if you'll recognize there is a judge over all things, and whatever you're holding against somebody else, there's somebody up there in heaven that's looking down on you and said, you want me to treat you the way you're treating them? I mean, do you always stay in fellowship with the Lord? How many things does the Lord look the other way on and just say to you, I'll have mercy on you? When I was coming up, I got some whoopings along the way and deserved every one that I got, and I didn't get some of them, and for a while I thought I had pulled something over on my dad. I found out my dad knew about everything, and then some. He was just being merciful to me. Sometimes you get to thinking that daddy's a pushover just because he's merciful to you. Don't ever get that way with God. Don't ever get to the point that you think, you know, well, God doesn't really care about if I do this or I do that. No, He's keeping a book. He's keeping a record. He's paying attention to what you're doing. And if things continue to go the way they are, He may chastise you here. He may wait till you get the judgment seat of Christ. He may haul you into account once you get there. You may think you have some things that are going to come to you at the judgment seat of Christ. And the Lord said, no, I put you on the shelf because you never would get that thing right.
If you would recognize that you were going to face the Lord tomorrow, how many things could you just drop? How many rocks could you put down of people you were going to stone? And that passage where the woman's taken in adultery there, and the Lord writes some things down in the sand, and they all begin from the least unto the greatest. They begin from the youngest to the oldest, the eldest. They begin to drop the rock. How many rocks could you drop if you knew you were going to face the Lord tomorrow? If you realize, you know something, I better just get this slate clear because I'm going to meet Jesus tomorrow. How many of those things you think would matter to you if you were dying of cancer? How many of those things you think would matter to you if you were in some great tragedy in life and you were the one who let the thing that's eating on you cause you to have cancer or some other kind of a disease? You say, why? That physiological, psychological thing turns into a physiological issue. A lot of that is because we treat God like he's a big Santa Claus granddaddy up there instead of the God that he is. He may be the Ancient of Days, but don't ever think he's some elderly senile guy sitting around in a wheelchair up there and he's got Alzheimer's and he's got dementia and he's all twisted up and his skin's sagging and his muscles are atrophied and all that. Don't ever see God like that. God's old and got the wisdom and got everything, but he ain't lost an ounce of his strength. So you want to be careful. You want to make sure you always hedge your bet on that side. Look at this thing in Proverbs chapter number 1. Look, if you will, please. He's going to give a warning. He's going to talk about fools hate knowledge in verse 22. And then he says in 23, turn at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out the Spirit unto you. I'll make known my words. It's a stipulation. You get right and I'll do something for you. Sometimes what we don't know is that when we don't have God doing something for us, it's because you refuse to do what he asks you to do. Notice in the passage, as I told a friend of mine not too long ago, notice in the passage, it's not a matter of you do right and they do right. It's a matter of you do right whether they do right or not. Now, that's the toughest thing in the world. Toughest thing in the world is for you to do right and say, okay, Lord, I did right. Now make them get right. The Lord's like, well, you missed the game there altogether. The issue is I gave you a chance to get right. Whether they get right or not is not your business. Notice what he says. I realize this is meat eater stuff. This is hard, practical stuff. Well, I just think they should do this. And I just think, and the Lord's like, that ain't none of your business what you think. Notice what he says in verse number 25. You've said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Because I called, I'm sorry, in 24, and you refused, stretched out my hand. No man regarded. Verse 26, I'll laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then you shall call upon. They shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? For they that hated knowledge and did not choose to what? Fear the Lord. Now, in fact, the next verse, you know what he says? They despise reproof. Now, all I'm trying to tell you is that when God gets on to you, you should take it seriously. It ought to bother you. It ought to scare you. If he says don't argue with him. Don't say, well, Lord, the way I see it, that's what will get you in trouble. Take your Bible, come over to the book of Deuteronomy, all the way over in the New Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And if you don't have these verses written down, then take them. Now, I thank God for the grace of God. I thank God for the goodness of God. I thank God for the mercy of God. I thank God for his long-suffering with me. I get all of those things. That's not where my default button is. My problem is oftentimes God's been so good to me, I forget there's another side. He's a perfectly balanced God. He's not a pervert where he leans too hard one way or the other way. But just like a good parent knows how to love and then knows how to chasten. You say, why? Because you're a good parent. Don't ever back up from that. I'm glad I had the people that were responsible when I was too young to be responsible for my soul myself. I'm glad that my parents took responsibility for my soul. I'm glad they brought me to church. I really is. I know what I'm about to say now is absolutely not popular, but don't ever let the kids decide whether they're going to church. You say, why? They'll stay in bed every Sunday. Amen. You don't let them decide if they want to go to school or not, do you? Do you? Amen. I hope not. Police will be knocking on your door and put you in jail for them being truants. But you know what? You say, well, you know, it's a spiritual thing. I'll let them decide on what they want to do with God. You know what? Until they get old enough to have responsibility for that little timeline I told you about this morning from the womb to the tomb and that time frame, until they can become responsible, you become responsible for them. take them and teach them right. Brainwash them. Show them what's right to do. Show them how they ought to live. Show them how they ought not to do. What they should do, what they shouldn't do. You say, well, I've been in churches. Shut your complaining. I'm wore out with that. Stop criticizing the church. Go find you one that's perfect, and when you join it, you'll ruin it too. Amen. I'm wore out with all the hypocrites in the church and all that. And it's always through your nose. And the hypocrites in the church and all that. Of which you are chief. Come on, cut it out, man. That doesn't impress me. That duck doesn't work for me. Listen. If you are not responsible as a kid, you may not know to be, then your parents ought to drag you to church, whether you want to or not. I told you the other day, I was raised on drugs. I was drugged whether I wanted to go or not. You said, preacher, times have changed. No. Times haven't changed. People have changed. You've decided to let your kids go to the wayside and let your kids go to hell and let your kids grow up and make their own decisions and let the school influence them more than church influence them. I get one or two shots at them. Brother Sam and Brother Josh and Brother Woodard get one or two shots at them. Sunday school teachers get one or two shots at them. There's no way that it will coincide with or contradict what they're learning in public school. They get them in public school 5 days a week for about 6 or 7 hours a day. And so you know what you need? You need something to counter that. You say, what? You don't have to have them go crazy and go stupid and act buck wild when it comes to evolution and those kind of things. There's a lot of things being taught in school nowadays as far as just moral living and moral life that need to be countered in a church. Amen. You say you're going to teach a class on certain things? No, that's the job of the parents. Yeah, it's not the job of the school. Your kids shouldn't have to go to school to learn about those kinds of things. Your kids shouldn't have to go to school and get their mouth washed out with a bar of soap because they learn to talk like you talk at the house. No, they shouldn't be hearing that kind of stuff down there. You ought to tell them we don't talk like that. It's wrong. They say, well, I'm talking about so-and-so. Stop talking about people. If you talk about people, they'll talk about you. And it ain't right to talk about people. They shouldn't say, well, Mom, you and Dad talk about people. So I figured it must be okay. Mom, you are on Facebook all the time about people. So you get a little nervous there. You say, why? It's called responsibility. You're responsible. God allows a child to be born. That child is born and it's safe until it comes to the age of accountability. I'd be willing to bet you, just guessing at this, I could be wrong, but I'd be willing to bet you Matt and Summer start right off the bat, if not while that youngin's in the womb right now. He may be in there lifting weights and doing all kind of other things right now and getting ready to, you know, to spring into the world and all that kind of stuff. I bet you Matt's saying, you better listen to what the book says, boy. I bet you that baby comes out and knows the sound of both of their voices. That baby gets a little older, I'll tell you another voice he'll know. He'll know my voice. You say, how's that happen? That baby's listening right now. You say, well, what a thing. Yeah, what a thing. What a thing that the parents are bringing somebody to be listening to what God's got to say. Oh, now, preacher, we know that if we study scientifically, okay, you go right on ahead with all that foolishness, okay? That stuff makes a difference. Sometimes I saw a woman get on a plane one time and she had a set of headphones and she disconnected them in the middle and she put them, she's about ready to have the child, and she put them on either side of her womb right here, you know, it looked like she swallowed a pillow, you know, and she's like this, and she's got that thing and she's playing Mozart. And I couldn't resist. I said, excuse me, ma'am, just kind of noticed that's a little unusual. I thought your ears were up here. I was trying to be funny, you know. And she said, it's not for my ears, it's for his. And I said, really? Well, what does that do? She said, they say if you play classical music when the child is in the womb, it makes them more intelligent. Look at that. Just like that. Yeah. Yeah. I said, do you believe that? She said, well, I don't know, but if it does work, he's going to be one of the smartest kids alive. I said, yeah, you'd have to be pretty silly to sit on an airplane with headphones on your stomach. Unless you really did think maybe it might help my kid. And you won't bring them to church? And you let them choose? And you let them decide? And a woman, as far as I know, lost as a golf ball in high weeds, and let my kid listen to classical music, hopefully it'll make him smarter. You say, what is that? Watching for their soul till they get old enough to take responsibility themselves. Deuteronomy chapter 28, here's a hair curler. And it shall come to pass, verse 63, and it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoice over you to do you good. Isn't that the God we know? Deuteronomy 28, look in verse 63. That's in the Old Testament. Go back to Genesis and come forward about four books. And it shall come to pass, verse 63, as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you. There's the blessings of God right there. So the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to naught. And you shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. You say, well, now, preacher, that's just a verse about the nation of Israel and all that kind of... Yeah, but you need to get the whole context of that thing. That's the God you serve right there. You know what he said? I rejoice over you to do you good and to multiply you. But the same way I rejoice over that, watch the balance. I'll rejoice to pluck you off the cotton picking land that you're trying to go possess. I'll pick it so clean they won't find any of you. Man, that's a God you better be careful of being too fresh with. You better be careful when you're talking with him or saying things the wrong way. A guy came a long time ago, years ago. I've used the illustration on a number of times. Look at, Psalm 59. Make it Psalm 7 first. Psalm 7. No, go to 5. Psalm 5, that's a good one. Came in and he said, you know, when you're mad at God, just cuss him out. Give him a good cussing. See, he's trying to be like he's extra bold, you know, kind of like, you know, well, God already knows how you feel, so just let it rip, you know. And I had to wait till he left. I tried to be gracious, but I said, don't you ever cuss God out. Don't be stupid. I mean, you remember who you're talking to. You go in there in the presence of God, and even if you're upset, you can tell him you're upset, but I wouldn't be flinging no curse words at him. You say, why? That's a holy God. He could snuff you out even if he crossed his word, and what are you going to say about it? I didn't say he would, but I'd be careful about going up there and saying, well, yeah, here's what you said. The Lord's like, you know, I think what I'll do is I'll just go ahead and cripple you from the eyeballs down and let you stay in that state where even if you wanted to kill yourself, you can't. And I'll let you sit right there for a while until you think about how you came in and approached me with your truth. Look at Psalm 5:5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. That's pretty strong language. You say, what? That's God. Look in chapter 7. Look in verse number 11. Chapter 7, verse number 11. God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. How many of you have been taught that God loves the sinner but he hates the sin? How many of you have been taught that? Is that what those verses say? No, God hates the one committing the sin. You know why there's sin in the world? Because people commit it. It's not sin that makes them do it. It's people that sin. God holds them accountable for that thing. Look down in verse or John chapter number 3. I won't even stop the one in Proverbs 6. Just go to John chapter 3 and then we'll move on past this. John chapter number 3. And the only reason I bring this up is to bring a seriousness to what it is we're doing. We get a little too relaxed, a little too lackadaisical. This is serious business. This is serious, as a friend of mine used to say, is a sack full of rattlesnakes. Amen. This is serious business. You don't mess around with this stuff. This has to do with eternal destination, what you're going to be doing forever. You'd be in the presence of God. Can you imagine? What's that like? To be in the cleanest place you've ever been in, never even have the thought of... What's it like to be in a place like that? Can you imagine what it's going to do to your mind when you start looking around in a place that's that clean and you see all the holiness of God and the beauty of God and the privileges that God blessed you with, and all of a sudden something runs through your mind that's wicked and ungodly and unclean, and you're going to realize, man, even my thoughts don't belong up here. What am I doing up here? And the Lord said, yeah, what are you doing up here? There won't be anybody up there then, in spite of all the books being written nowadays about all the works you're doing and all the good work you do and all the I know I'm saved because of this and that and the other. I'll tell you what'll be going on. Sir, I'm here because of him. He let me in. He's the one that put me in. I got in through him. What you got to say about your righteousness? Nothing. Nothing, sir. Nothing at all. I got nothing to say. Did you do anything right down there? You're the judge of that. I got no idea. I don't even know what my motives were when I did it. Why'd you get so hung up on such baby stuff, nursery stuff, sandbox stuff, wading pool stuff? Why'd you get hung up in the shallow end? Why is it you never walked out there with Zeke and went on out into the river a little bit and just bobbed and weaved without being able to touch the bottom? How come you didn't trust me by faith to do what I ask you to do? Remember now, you don't get a chance to go back. It's over. It's done. It's finished. You won't regret taking it too serious then. People nowadays always trying to turn it down, turn it down, turn it down. And don't be a fanatic. A fanatic's just somebody that loves the Lord more than you do. You just turn it down. Just turn it down. Just turn it down. Why? If you don't like it, it makes you uncomfortable. Get away from them. You don't tell them to turn it down in sports. You send them to all kind of classes to make them better in sports. When's the last time you sent them to an extra Bible class? You ever wonder why we're biblical buffoons? You send them to extra classes when it comes to academics. I think some of you, as a matter of fact, many of you, and it's right and you should be because you're smarter than the average bear, but a lot of you are in accelerated classes. How you doing on your Bible? How come mom and dad ain't pushing the book? All that academics are not going to help you. All that athletic ability is not going to help you when you get up to heaven. None of that's going to weigh out of the judgment seat of Christ. None of that. None of that. Now, preacher, listen, don't be grabbing each other by the hand and petting each other and calming each other down. Now, listen, you know how he is. He's a preacher. He has to say those kinds of things. But, you know, we know what the real balance is. Get off me, man. Get off me trying to pull me back and make me feel like I'm the bad guy for trying to challenge you spiritually. I'm your pastor. I'm supposed to challenge you spiritually. I'm supposed to afflict you if you're comfortable down here. I'm supposed to tune you up, supposed to make you good and mad every now and then. So I just didn't like how you, what was he doing all that hollering and talking about swinging a handle, swinging a handle, swinging a handle and all that kind of stuff. What's the matter? The scalded dog yelling? Preacher, I mean, I thought you were our friend. Yeah, but not to the point of compromise. Amen. Not to the point where I'm not going to say what he said. You say, why? I'm scared of him. I've seen what he can do. Amen. He's going to know if I put something in your mouth, boy, you're going to say it. Yes, sir, Lord. He said, you don't have to quite say it that way, but, you know, we'll work on your grammar and things like that. But you're going to say what I tell you to say? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I am. Amen. You say, why? I don't understand that. You tell me you're headed for heaven. You ain't making no preparations. We went a couple years ago, we went over to Moldova. That ain't a trip that you make in 24 hours. You got to make some plans. You have to have some thought. You have to buy some tickets. You have to think about where you're going to be staying. It takes preparation when you get there, where you're going to stay and where you're going to be preaching and how you're going to get people there and getting buses and stuff for people to ride in, to take people and stuff over there. And some of you people, you headed for heaven and you'd never even know it. You ain't making no praise except you're saved. And you're showing your kids that being prepared academically or being prepared as far as business is concerned or being prepared as far as athletics is more important than being prepared to glory. What makes you think they're even going to graduate high school? They may not get another chance. What you doing with them with the Bible? You say, what do you do to combat pressure and stress and depression and all that kind of stuff? The book. I tell you why some of you are messing up right now. That's why you're looking down and thinking it's time to pray. You're counting the carpet weave. You're thinking, my Lord, man, how did he get started on this? I mean, he was laughing and cutting up in choir practice. I mean, what in the world, man? He's all up in a dither. He's up in the air. What's he all in a bunch over? That kind of a thing. Because I'm talking for him.
Amen. Amen.
You act as if there is no judgment coming. You act as if there is no judgment. You act as if there's no eternity. You say, why? You're preparing them as if they're going to be here tomorrow and not preparing them for being there. I get wore out with that stuff. You trust me when I tell you that God that laughs at you, that I'll show you in just a second here again, that God that laughs at you, you know what he's going to say to you? How come you kept getting in the way and hindering people, Galatians 5, and messing them up when they were trying to get closer to the Lord and you put more emphasis on the other things, like what you wanted to do on a cotton picking Sunday night instead of being in church where you ought to be?
Amen. Sir.
Instead of being in church on Wednesday night where you ought to be.
Right, sir.
How dare any preacher put that kind of pressure on you? The church ought to be just as full on Wednesday night as it is on Sunday morning.
Amen.
I mean, if eternity's serious to you. Well, preacher, you know everybody can't make it. I realize, I understand there's exceptions. I understand that. I get that. But I don't understand that lackadaisical attitude and why you always turn me down. You know what you ought to at least be able to say? That's right, preacher. I may not be able to do it, but you're right. Amen. You know what you ought to tell your kid? That preacher's right. Instead, you go home and say, well, now the preacher doesn't understand parenting. And, you know, everything didn't always work out great for him. And things didn't always turn out okay. Okay, that's good. I get all that. But I'm seeing some of them come back around. That don't have nothing to do with me or her. It has to do with their relationship with the Lord. And whether or not they choose to do it. Is that how you're raising them? Is that how you're teaching them? I teach a parenting class. You say, would you teach them to dust their bridge? No, I'd teach them. How many times you sit down with them and teach them the book? How many times you read them the book? I was thinking up here, and I apologize for picking on you. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I was thinking Summer's up here strumming a guitar and singing I'm Headed for a City. Can you imagine singing that to you at nighttime? Your kid's getting ready to go to bed, and Daddy comes in and prays for the kids, and she's in there, and they say, Mama, can you sing us a song? And sing them a song about heaven. You say, well, they're a little young to be prepared for that. Really? Really? Are they? I can point to a couple people in here that lost them at a real young age. When's it too early to prepare them for heaven? Amen. Some of you get all in a dither, and the reason you're in a dither is because you pushed your kids into something, and now you can't keep up with it. You're running all over the creation. Help me out, Deke. Everybody else is deserting me, man. I'm already looking to see where my backup is because I'm thinking, boy, the pulpit fixing to get stormed. Some of you women have already decided, well, you just wait till I get my husband home. I'll tell you what, we ain't putting up with that anymore. I'm going to tell you what. Okay, well, you go ahead and let her, that old hen run you from now on if you want to. But I'm telling you what I'm telling you is the truth.
Amen.
You will never regret putting the emphasis on that book.
Amen.
So what's the problem with the youth today? Parents don't teach them the book. That's what's wrong with it.
Amen.
You say, why? Because you have too many troubles with your wife.
Amen.
Honey, we shouldn't let our kid dress like that. Well, you know, all the other girls wear that. I don't care if all the other girls wear a burlap sack and them stinking legging things. Ours ain't wearing that. Well, it's not fashionable. Well, who cares? She can go get a tent by Omar the Tent Maker for all I care. And you keep running your mouth, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut the hole out of a stinking pillowcase and she'll drop that over her head and that'll be it. How am I doing so far? You start developing a little bit, and the next thing you know, you think, you know, I should be a model out in Hollywood or whatever, and then Mama starts trying to relive her life through you, and you walk around like some slut, you know, running around here like you got something for sale, and then you upset because some of the boys are looking. Well, they're Christian boys. They shouldn't be looking. Hey, stupid, some of you got knocked up in church too. And yes, I'm very much aware of what I said.
Amen.
You say, why? You're not in the book. You don't have your personal relationship. Your emphasis isn't everywhere else. There's no way any preacher can counter that in two or three sermons in a week. It can't be done. The evil just comes in just in bucketfuls. And then I get to pick up pieces. People are brokenhearted, and we're here to help you. And I'm here to tell you, we'll help you. I don't care what mess you've been in. There ain't nothing you've done God can't forgive you of. But it'd be better if you could just avoid it altogether.
Amen.
And the only way I know that that works is to get in the book. Listen, I'm going to say something. This is pretty hard now, so get ready. Get your feet off the floor. At some point in time, you as an individual are going to have to decide whether or not you're going to follow God and you're going to do what it takes to follow God. And sometimes that's going to mean your family and your friends, and it may even cost you financially because you're going to say, as for me and my house, we are serving the Lord. And they say, well, you can't hang out with us.
Right.
Okay, good. Thank you for making that clear. I can see what that friendship is. Bye-bye. See you later. So long. Adios. Whatever. Vita Zane. Choose the whole bit. Out. Bye. Get away from me. Why? I am not going to sacrifice my relationship with the Lord and my family just to make you happy.
Amen.
You know, well, you know, yeah, I know the South. I know the South. I've had the pressure put on me before. Well, you know, God had the family before he had the... Yeah, but wait a minute, stupid. God had a relationship with Adam before there was Eve.
Yes.
And when God made Eve, he made it to be a helpmeet to Adam, and she and him were supposed to be with the Lord first. So before you start using the family over God, remember, God was first in everything.
Yes. Amen.
They get wore out with that. What do you do with families that don't have a husband? What do you do with single parents that are doing their best? What do you tell them? You say, how can I help them? Put them in accelerated classes? Give them the book. 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 Put them in Sunday school class. You say what? They start about 4 out here. 3 or 4 years of age, they go over there and say, well, they can't learn nothing. They sure ain't learning nothing from you. Put them in Sunday school. Let these women teach them.
Amen.
Move them up through the Sunday school class and put them in junior high and put them in high school. Amen. Bring them in here. They ain't going to learn nothing from you. I don't know why you're still here. You're always bucking. You're always, I don't know if you're a goat or not.
Come on, brother.
Amen.
You wear me out. I watch it. I see it when I'm preaching. So I see some of you like, I'm thinking to myself, man, in my day, I'd sting your cheek just by the way you look. Well, I mean, you know, in my mind, I would probably never do anything like that, but it'd be a cold day. You kind of pull that glove off. You just kind of warm the hand up so it doesn't burn your hand when you, you know, kind of help them to see Jesus in a nice way. I'm thinking, do you realize you're not laughing and mocking me? You're laughing and mocking him.
Amen.
I'm preaching the book. You're just not liking it.
Amen.
I've seen grown men do that. Grown men call themselves spiritual men, spiritually grown men. And they come to a church service and about faint when all of a sudden the Lord puts a finger on them and says, hey, you know what? You could hit that altar too and you could get some things right. Man, you should see them, man. They shake like a dog trying to get rid of a peach seed.
Amen.
Oh my God. What's he doing that for? You act like a woman, man. Like you got lace on your britches or something. I got women in here that could buy and sell you 10 times over, boy. And come in here and women that do what God wants them to do when God wants them to do it. In spite of the trouble they get from mama and daddy and grandma and grandpa and kids. You get your hind end in a car, kid. You're coming with me. You're going to church. You're going to sit your butt in Sunday school. And then after, backside. And then you're going to come in there and you're going to sit in church. And if you don't sit right, I'll take you out, wear you out, bring you in. And you're going to sit there until that preacher's done preaching. You understand me? Well, I don't like it. We'll lump it.
Amen.
We got good women like that.
Amen.
You got men. Hey, honey, I just don't know. Don't you ain't fooling me, you yellow-bellied sapsucker, you.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you are. I know exactly what you are. You trying to run things through her.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is you don't want to be here.
Oh,
the truth is you're a wannabe. The truth is you can't hold a candle to some of the teenagers we got around here.
Amen.
And it comes to quoting scripture and comes to knowing things about the Bible and those kind of things. You say, why? You ain't no more afraid of God than a billy goat. Oh, I'm afraid of the Lord. Yeah, I can tell. You can tell somebody's afraid of the Lord by their actions.
Right.
And you can tell when they're not.
Amen.
Good preaching. I'm not getting a lot of support from over here. Y'all kind of quiet. You're kind of in shock or something. I don't know what that is. I'm getting more, you know, kind of throwing it back here. What you sitting so quiet for? I'm telling you the truth. You say, yeah, but
amen.
Preacher, we, you know, getting sophisticated now. I mean, you don't have to do that kind of stuff anymore. No, not unless it's needed.
Amen.
You'd think we'd get mature enough to a point that we'd remember that without having to be reminded. You think it's fun for me to get up here and do that? I got to get in the car with her when getting ready to go home, and she'll be thinking. And she's thinking, should I say something or not? You said B-U-T-T in the pulpit, you know, and you probably shouldn't say that. You're right, I shouldn't. Did you really want to go there tonight? No, I don't believe I do. Thank you. Honey, what? Never mind. Are you okay? Yeah, I just espresso, honey. Had an extra shot today. It's nothing. Don't worry about it. It's no big deal. No, you couldn't see a broken heart if you knew it. My heart's broken. You say, why? I've seen some of you like those logs that got pulled off the fire and you're way over here away from the fire. And you ain't going to catch unless you get back in the fire. And you just sit there. Little girl came in one time to her daddy and she was dressed a certain way and the daddy said to her, honey, I'd appreciate you don't go out like that. That doesn't look good. Little boys, you know, look at things the wrong way and you shouldn't put yourself out there like that. She said, oh, daddy, everybody does this and so on and so forth. And he said, well, and she laughed at him, you know, kind of made fun of him and called him an old fogey and that kind of a deal. And he said, well, do me a favor. He said, go over there and pick up that log there by the fire. And she goes over there and picks up the log. She goes, daddy, it ain't even hot. And he said, well, just put it on the fire. And she put it on the fire. He said, now look at your hands. And he said, you don't have to be hot to be dirty. All you have to do is get around it. It ain't always the smoke that makes you smell smutty. You say, what is that? I don't blame the kids. I blame the parents.
Amen.
I blame you jacklegs for letting kids have telephones too soon. I blame you for letting them be involved in things they have no business being involved in, even if they're an adult. I blame you for giving them way too much liberty and giving them too many choices in their personal life and giving them too much liberty, because the truth of the matter is, it's what you want to do, and you can't require them to do something you ain't going to do.
Amen.
I blame you. I don't blame them.
Amen.
Kids don't know any better. What kid wouldn't run wild, hog wild, if they were given the liberty to do so?
Sure.
No curfew, a TV in the room, a phone in the room, an internet in the room, a computer in the room, sleeping with a cotton-picking phone on all the time,
Right. Yeah. Checking
stuff on the internet, and that kind of a deal. Yeah, you think that's the kid's fault? The kid's like, yeah, man, lay it on me. I mean, you put sugar pops out in the morning and at the same time put out just some bacon and eggs there, and watch which ones they spend more time eating. Them sugar pops will be gone 2 days.
Amen.
Why wouldn't they do that?
Preacher,
and then you want to get on to them for getting sugar diabetes? You're the one controlling the diet. But some of you ought to be put in jail for child abuse.
Amen.
You say, why? You're endangering kids. You're exposing them to stuff worse than heroin, worse than fentanyl, worse than crack, worse than cocaine, worse than all that kind of stuff, worse than pills out of your pill cabinet. You're allowing them to be exposed to something that'll endanger their soul.
Amen. Amen.
All because, I think they can handle it. Well, if they can't.
No. Yeah.
You remember the story I've told you many times before, that boy that trained that boa constrictor, and he'd make a clicking noise and that thing would come up out of that box and crawl over there and get around his feet, and he'd start to curl himself up when he was a little thing. It only came up out his waist, and then he'd come back down, and after a while that big old snake got bigger and got bigger and got bigger, and he traveled with the carnival for a long time having nightly shows, and he'd make that sound, and then they'd throw him a rabbit or a rat or throw him something like that into his cage there, and you'd hear a little scuffling going on in the cage, and he'd squeeze the life out of that animal and eat that animal then, and the next night come out and make a couple of noises, and that big old snake come up out of that thing, rear that big old head, and slither out across that floor and begin to wrap himself up. And one day that boy gets over there and he bumps that snake to tell him to turn loose, and that snake says,
sure.
And he bumps him again, and the guy that's watching over here that's supposed to be there as his safety valve, he bumps him again, and that snake goes, and I heard a bone snap under the constriction of that snake. Just crack like that, and now the boy's the air is coming out of him. He can't even make a noise, and by the time they finally get a hammer in the back of that snake's head and begin to try to get him undone, he had squeezed the life out of that boy that had him trained. I got it. I can handle it. I got it. Never get me. I got it. And then one day, crack. And he's got you. Preacher, I just don't know what happened. You keep playing. You keep playing. You keep playing. Ain't gonna be long. Gotcha. Preacher, why? You're not in the book.
So you just say that because Dr. Ruckman talked about the book all the time.
What do you think kept an old man like that straight for over 60 years in the ministry? How do you think it happened? You think about happenstance? As many places that guy's been, and as many places he's traveled, and the many opportunities that would have crossed his path, what do you reckon it was that kept him out of trouble? I'll tell you what it was. It's the same thing you got right there in your lap. What you doing to tell your kids about it? What you doing to put the emphasis on that? When's the last time you had family Bible reading around the dinner table?
Yeah, we're not like that. We're not like homeschoolers, you know. They just get a little carried away with that.
Boy, I'm getting sure wore out. I'm fixing to call some of you out on it.
Amen.
Blaming people for being, too spiritual.
Hallelujah.
With that tone in your mouth. Like, I wish your tongue would stick to the roof of your mouth.
Amen.
Yeah, they just think they're so spiritual.
Amen.
Somebody ought to slap you silly.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. You say, why? Think about it. Why would you tear somebody down that's trying to do that for their family? Why would you do it? There's only one reason. Because you won't do it for yours.
Amen.
The last time you read Grandma?
Amen.
Paw.
Amen.
When's the last time you read? When's the last time you put your paws on your kid's head and prayed for them?
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen, preacher.
But you sure don't mind taking them down the dismal world and Sea World and see all the animals, talk to the animals with Dr. Spock or whoever Doolittle or whatever his stinking name is. You don't mind entertaining them. You don't mind going to their games and hollering and screaming like a Comanche Indian. And then it comes to church, they can't find you with a flashlight. You teaching them right, aren't you, Paw?
Amen, preacher. Amen.
How about that, Daddy? Show up for their game and won't show up for church.
Amen. Amen.
I see what the emphasis is. Show up for work every single day. Work your fingers to the bone so you can have something. And so tired can't come to church. Good teaching, Dad. Great teaching, Mama. I know, here comes the excuses. You know what I can see going through some of your heads right now? Here's what's going through your heads. Well, I know some people that raised their kids right and they turned out prodigal. Yeah, and I know a lot of prodigals that made it back from the pig pen serving the Lord today, too.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
But you know what that just says to me? That says to me, you don't care about them anyway. You don't care enough to tell them you ain't doing that. No, you don't. You don't care enough. You don't care what movies they watch. You don't care if they see all that junk that's out there to see. It don't make no difference to you at all. And sure enough, one day, all of a sudden, they're going to be like this. And you're going to be in there screaming in the policeman's face, how could you do that to my child? The policeman's like, I didn't do that to your child. You did it to him. That's just the result of you doing what you did. You're going to blame somebody else. If nothing else, you're going to blame the preacher. I know why the young people leave our church. That preacher, he's not modern. He don't preach in a golf shirt.
Amen.
I see old people in the airport all the time. And I don't know what the deal is. It's as bad as seeing an elderly woman in yoga breeches. But I see these guys and I'm thinking, how can that guy think? I mean, they got on high dollar clothes, but they... And I'm thinking, that guy in his mind thinks he looks like... In his mind, he's like, because you see him like talking to the young girls at the Starbucks or whatever. It's kind of like, hey. I'm waiting for one of them girls to go, ka-tow! Just for thinking that I would even talk to you, you stinking weirdo. Who dressed you this morning? What is wrong with you? Wall Street Journal. You think I think you have money because you read the Wall Street Journal? I think you're reading it because you're stupid. Because there ain't nothing in it.
Right.
It's like all numbers. It's supposed to be work. It's a newspaper. You know, I'm checking my stock prices. Okay, go impress Warren Buffett, okay? I mean, get Mr. Gates on the phone. And
hey, Bill, how you doing? Yeah. Really been watching my investments here lately. You know, it's
kind of like, you'd be surprised what you hear on the plane. I'm thinking, oh. Okay, I get all that. What you doing with your kids? You tell me you care about the other generation and you'll support them in athletics, but you won't support them in a scripture memorization contest because it's too much to have them come up and quote scripture or to sing a song or to be in squirts or soldiers or whatever that whole deal is right there. The ones before the recruits, excuse me, no offense intended. I'll be offended. I don't care. But to be in, it's S's, squirts and soldiers. That's a good thing to do. But, and you too busy to bring your kids to something like that? You don't want them to get up here and parade around with their little shield and their little sword and quote scripture and stand up here and look and poke at the microphone and get up here and get in a play. And yeah, you too sophisticated for that, ain't you?
Boy, but you sure go to a school play with them. You sure go to a ball game with them. You sure brag about them on your cotton-picking social media about all they're doing out there. When's the last time you took a picture of them in church? Oh, I'm sorry. You can't. You're not here to see them. You can't take pictures of them in church. I bet you if you go through your photo files right now, you'll find more pictures of your kids in social events and athletic events and academic events than you'll find in being in church.
Amen. Yep.
Let's just put it on trial. Mm-hmm. Let's just see where you're emphasizing. Let's see where you're proudest of them at.
AB.
Right. AB honor roll. What'd you do? I quoted scripture. What'd you quote? John 11:35, Jesus wept. Is that all you know? Yeah. Picked that one up from the preacher, but that's all mom and dad will bring me to church. I don't have time to learn anything else. Yeah, I'm talking about ministers too. I'm talking about leadership. I'm talking across the board. If the shoe wears cotton pick and put it on if it fits.
Amen.
There ain't nobody immune when it comes to God. God's not a respecter of persons. You just think it's special because, you know, well, he's making an exception of me. I got an exceptional kid. Yeah, do you? Do you? I'll bet you I could take pretty much any kid in here and put them through a particular training program, and I bet I can make them to be pretty much better than anybody else if I spend all my time training them for it. What you want to bet? You want to bet? I bet I can take somebody, one of these boys right here that hardly can walk and chew gum at the same time. I bet you I can hook them up with some athletes that I know. And I bet you within a year's time, you won't recognize what that kid is and what that kid can do. I just bet you. They become what you shape them to be. I got no idea why we're on all this stuff right here, but I am heartbroken, boy. I'm seeing families tore apart. I'm seeing friends tore apart. I'm seeing things come apart because of the precious little ones. What you teaching them, mama? What you teaching them, daddy? I'll just tell you right now, you think I'm arrogant when I'm going to say this, but I guarantee you what I'm saying, you're going to hear again when you come to the judgment seat, and then you can answer to him for it, not me. You live in a modern world today that thinks church on Sunday night and Sunday school and Wednesday night and revival meetings and that kind of stuff. That's like, what are you doing all that for? Because we're trying to do it for the people that want to do it, to try to do something for the Lord. That's why. You don't say one word about getting called into extra innings, or you don't say one word about sending extra classes in order to get an extra grade or to get a raise or whatever it might be. But boy, the first time the church says to you, you know, you probably ought to be here more than just Sunday morning, you know what you think immediately? I don't need church. Why would you say that? Why would you say that? Where would you be if it wasn't for the church? Would you even be saved? I bet you somebody from church witnessed to you. I just bet they did. Back in the day, the stuff I'm saying to you right now, it was as commonplace as lemonade. And stuff like I preached to you this morning in Sunday school, the other message is a little different, but the stuff I preached to you in Sunday school, that was an every Sunday occurrence. And if you didn't preach that way, people wouldn't come back to hear you. And nowadays you preach that way and you can't wait to get out of here like a rat running out of a sewer pipe. It's kind of like, man, I just think you've gotten tender with your ears, easily offended. Too simplistic. You worry about all the stuff being said on the news and the false accusations against so-and-so and the fake news and the stuff that the school teacher said and the stuff the policeman said and all that other stuff. And then a preacher stands and says, thus saith the Lord. You know what you're saying right now? That's just your opinion. Everything I got scripture for. What you got?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You couldn't give me three verses on sports. Your financial guru, you can't give me three verses on money. You're a parental or a grandparental, a wizard, are you? Give me three verses on what God says about raising boys and girls. You don't know it. And you've been in a Bible-believing church. Well, preacher, you know, if you'd teach us, how can I if you're not here? It's almost ludicrous to think you can learn something by... Let me ask you a question.
maybe I'm wrong about this nowadays. Maybe it's changed since the days that we were brought up. But I'd ask you a question. You think your kid's going to pass a math test if they ain't been to class? I mean, doesn't that sound almost stupid? They got to be taught math, right? Before they can, am I on the right page? Why is it people think they can be a success in a Christian life and they don't even go to class? I don't get that. It's kind of like, well, you know, I'm saved, and so I don't have to. I get worried. I don't get worried. I get angry. That's the truth of the matter about people that are always trying to get out of spiritual stuff. You don't have to give. You don't have to tithe. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to sing in the choir. You don't have to be a priest. You don't have to be. What is that? What is that? Look at this passage here. I'm running out of time now. I didn't realize it was getting so late. John chapter number 3. Look in verse 36. This is the Lord himself speaking about himself. He said, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides where?" Well, that's a different sign of God, isn't it? God telling you that there are some things that you need to put as a preeminent thing in your life. I think it's time for a reckoning. What do you think a real revival would look like in America? What would that look like to you? You think it'd be the towers fall and a few people go back to the Catholic Mass? What would it look like to you? You think it'd be the tsunami that took place and hundreds of thousands of people die across those continents and stuff like that when that tsunami struck over there in Indonesia after the big earthquake there? What do you think it'd look like? A bunch of people gathering together under a tent and, oh God, praying and crying over the loved ones they lost and trying to make a commitment to make sense of God to help them to find their loved one. What would a revival look like? Well, in the Bible, you know what a revival looks like? It looks like people get back to being around God every day, all day, as long as they can, because they realize without God they can do nothing. Amen. What would revival look like to you? Well, it looked like, 15 minutes on Sunday morning. I'm revived. I'm there every Sunday morning. There'll be a day coming. It won't be me you answer to. You can give him all your excuses. I told a lady that last week. She said, "Well, I just think this and I think that and I just think so on and so forth and I just think and I just feel and I just, and the way I look at it is and this and that and the other." And I wanted to say to her, "You know, have you been called to preach or something like that, because you're trying to preach everything?" But she just kept on about all the stuff, all the problems, all the troubles, all the difficult, all of this and that and the other, and why God did this and why God did that and all that. And I wanted to say to her, and I didn't, I held my tongue, but I wanted to say to her, "You know, if you went to church as much as you talk about going, you might know why he did what he did, but you ain't never there to find out what's going on." She's complaining about her pastor because she thinks her pastor has respect for me, and so she's trying to catch my ear so he'll get my mouth in his ear, kind of a thing. And I listen and listen and listen until finally here's all I could come up with. I said, "Well, sister," I said, "the bottom line is I find that when people are constantly talking about other people, it's because their mind are more on people and themselves than they are on God." What was your question? Answer. "I was trying to get you to speak to my pastor." Well, ain't happening. You say, "Why? Were you willing to get right? Go once a month and you're going to tell me something's wrong with the preacher? He's up there four times a week. He's easy pickings, man. You listen to him run his mouth 30, 45 minutes or an hour four times a week. Who can't find something wrong with that? You live your life as publicly as he lives his life. I bet you I could find a couple of things wrong with you. And you go once a month and you're not the bride at the wedding and the corpse at the funeral. You're not Miss Sapphira's prancing in and stuff like that." Those are all things I thought about saying, but I didn't say them. I just said, "Well, I'm not going to talk with him about it. You got a problem with him, you go talk to him. But be it difficult for you, man, because you know what you're going to want? You're going to want a special meeting because you won't be there when he's there. He's there Sunday morning, he's there Sunday night, he's there Tuesday, he's there Wednesday, and sometimes for special meetings on Friday and Saturday. But you won't be there. You want him to come to see you. You really want to see him that bad? Go where he's at." Amen. Yellow-bellied coward. Right. Talk about people and won't come. Right.
talk behind people's back and won't come and sit in the church. You say, why? You've been talking to the people in here and they're realizing, they look at you sitting here, you know what they're thinking? What a hypocrite, boy. You've been talking about all the things wrong with the church. You don't even come to church. That's why you don't come. You know they know you. You know they see you. You know the Holy Spirit kicks you right in the chest. Your heart's about to burst when all of a sudden you run into that person. They shake your hand and it's kind of like, yeah, faithful are you? If you showed up for work or for your marriage the way you show up for the Lord, you wouldn't be married long and you wouldn't be employed. And you know I'm telling the truth. And you're going to convince me you got a relationship with the Lord? Well, I do. Okay. Great. Then how come you're not in obedience to His Word? And if not here, why not somewhere? Amen. Mr. Home Church. Amen. Mr. Internet Church.
Right.
Mr. I'll watch at home in my footy pajamas with my cocoa. Honey, it's a little warm. Could you bring me something else? Put some milk in it and some marshmallows. Boy, I hope and pray to God there's not a call to arms. You say, why? I know where we'll find you. That Bible says, men, that you're supposed to be a good soldier. That means suck it up. Stop being led around like a poodle on a string. Get up and get a backbone to you and do what God says, like Joshua. Me and my house, I don't know what y'all are doing. We're serving the Lord.
Amen.
Now we'll get to the judgment seat on Wednesday night. And we'll do that right before Brother Donovan comes on Friday. I want to encourage you to come on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. If you can work it in your busy schedule. If it's not too difficult for you. We spend all that money to bring people over here. Yeah, for you.
Amen.
To hear a different voice. To see if God will do something. Well, preacher, I'm busy. We've been having this meeting for years now this time of year. How come you always find it convenient to be busy? Why don't you just be honest, you jackleg you? Why don't you just say, I ain't coming because I don't want to? Why don't you quit lying? I'm wore out with that. Sometimes I just want to holler, liar! You ain't here because you don't want to be here. Stop lying! Preacher, how do you know I'm lying? Your mouth is moving. I'm wore out if you were to consider, just for the sake of the illustration of you using my people as your battering ram to justify you not being here because of somebody that did something to you. I'm wore out with you making that excuse.
Amen.
You ain't here because you don't want to be here.
Amen.
It wouldn't keep you from anything else you're doing. They don't keep you from the ballpark because you got a referee down there or a umpire down there that don't do things the way you want to see it done. It doesn't keep you from Walmart. If you don't like your boss, you don't quit going down there. But boy, you're the first one to throw one of my people from under in the congregation under the bus when you don't want to be here because of what somebody did to you.
Amen.
Yep. You're a cheap imitation.
Amen.
You're a ten-horn soldier. You don't have any courage whatsoever.
Amen.
You couldn't even stand to a woman who's just faithful.
Amen.
All the time, coming, some of them without their husbands for years.
Amen.
To a woman, puts you to shame.
Yes. Good.
I can't come. I see, I got this corn on my toe. It's a hurting me so bad. Go barefooted. I hope you'll think long and hard about what I've said. You say, why? There's a day of judgment coming. And if you think I get pretty upset about this kind of stuff, you wait till you see Him. And He don't play the games that we do. It's time to get serious. I'll give you a little guilt trip.
Do you realize how many letters we get and emails we get from people who wish they had a church or had the financial ability to be able to move here to be able to come to church like this? Do you realize how they say every time I say something about internet church, we get letters that come in and say, please don't turn it off. It's all we got. And it's in your backyard. And you can't make it. People would die to have a local church and you got one. Well, preacher, okay. My job to tell you, and after that, I'm supposed to let it go. I'm supposed to let it go. And it's between you and the Lord. But it's hard when you care about somebody. It's time for some of you to resign, not resign. The Lord, I'm getting serious about it again. I'm getting back in. Will you take me? You know what to do? He'll say, I'll take you. Lord, I'm changing some things as of right now. We're going to do things a little different. You wore out with your kids running you, yanking you back and forth. Well, I got two words of advice for you. Stop being their friend and be their parent. That's number one. And number two, get your nose between the pages of that book and find out what God will help you do to raise your own kids. Stop trying to raise them like everybody else does. Nobody's got a corner on the market. Well, if they're my kid, well, they ain't. You do the best you possibly can, and then at some point, they're going to answer to them and God, and that's all you can do. And some of them will turn out right, and some of them won't because of the choice they make. But I'll be jumped if I'm not going to give them the best opportunity to make the right decision and come out the right way and tell them the right thing, even if it hair-lips you and your grandma and your mother-in-law and everybody else. Amen. You say, why? You seen all these kids? You were a kid once. How come you're still sitting here? Careful that you don't take credit for that. Careful you don't give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God gets so upset sometimes, you know what he does? He pulls the preachers out. You don't want to hear from me? I'll take them out. It's what he did to the nation of Israel before he damned them. He takes out the voice in the wilderness. Said, okay. That book in Malachi ends and God doesn't speak to his people for 400 years. He doesn't open his mouth. No open vision, no words from God, no preacher, no prophet, no history, nothing. God said, you don't want to listen to what I have to say? I'll quit talking to you. 400 years. That's enough for at least four generations in those days to die out completely. And then the Lord comes along and they don't even recognize it. Well, I guess not. It's been quiet for 400 years. Who would be looking for Jesus? And such is the days you're living in now. Boy, the Lord's coming, the Lord's coming, the Lord's coming. Yeah, they've been saying that since 1988, preacher. And when he comes, you ain't going to be no more ready than a billy goat. Yep. I'm saved. Okay. Me too. What are you doing with that attitude? Let's stand together and be dismissed.